Now, man, I want you to respond to this question I'm about to ask in a positive, okay? And then your spouse will look at you lovingly. How many men in this building would love to understand their wives a bit better? Here we are, all right. And how many women in this building would love their husbands to understand what they need so they would feel more loved as well? We're going to spend 2 weeks going through one verse this morning and next week as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Interestingly, if you read Word for the Day, you know what the text is for today? Ephesians 5, verse 33. If you picked up your newspaper, your Advocate on Saturday, there was a section in there on marriage. And two wonderful godly Christian people within our community are giving testimony of 62 years of marriage and the difference Jesus made to their marriage. Just awesome. Now, if you're here this morning and you're single and you think, well, it's about marriage and I'm only 15 or 18 or I'm widowed or something, you know, maybe I won't get married. Let me say this. These principles will help you in future relationships. So if you're not going to be married for 3 or 4 or 10 years, this will prepare you for that day. So I ask you to tune in with the rest of us as well. There are lots of things in ministry that I enjoy, and one of the things I love doing the most is sitting down with a couple and preparing them for marriage. Going over the principles of Scripture and the things that we need to understand about men and women so that when they get to marriage, it's not about getting needs met or responding out of woundedness, but how can I serve? How can I love this person that God's given me as a gift? Several years ago, I came across a book by a man named Dr. Emerson Egerix. And the book was called Love and Respect. And I've read so many books on relationships. I've done seminars on it. I've done courses on it. I've probably taken 120 or 30 weddings or something like that. And yet I've never come across a book that mentioned that word respect. Interesting. Lots about love, how to love people. And most of the books are about blokes, how you've got to become more mushy and softer and more like a woman. And this wasn't saying that at all. This book was saying men and women are different, absolutely equal, able to do anything, but there's a fundamental need that exists in the heart of a lady and in the mind of a man that needs to be met if the marriage is to go well. Now, I want to say these two principles have turned marriages around, Christian and non-Christian, just when people choose to take it on board and say, God, I'm going to do what your word says. And when they do what God's word says, God turns up. And I've seen so many marriages transform because of it. Dr. Egerix puts the proposition in his book, in marriage, a woman's basic need is to feel loved, whereas a man's basic need is to feel respected. A man needs to give unconditional love to his wife, and a wife needs to give unconditional respect to her husband. Now, I've preached through Ephesians a couple of times in my life, and I've never heard Ephesians 5, 33 explained so well like Dr. Emerson. Listen to this one verse, Ephesians 5, verse 33 from the CEV translation. So each husband should love his wife as much as he loves himself. And each wife should respect her husband. It's not saying guys become more feminine or women become more like men. It's saying, no, there's a fundamental need in both genders. They're essential to be met for people to go and grow and do well. Dr. Emerson quotes two large surveys that were done amongst American men. These American men were asked, out of love and respect. Now, we want love and we want respect. We want them both. But these men were asked, hundreds of men, out of love and respect, which do you want the most from your spouse? Over 85% of the men said, we need respect. Because when we're respected, we feel loved. Interesting. So we want them both, but men are saying, boy, this getting respect from my spouse transforms me. It meets my deepest need. That's what I need most of all. A man is commanded in this passage to love his wife, to love his wife. Not a choice. It's not about, has she cooked a nice dinner? Has she been good to you? Has she been happier this week and less grumpy? We're commanded as Christian people, husbands, love your wives. And wives are commanded to respect, to honour their husbands. I want to suggest to you, friends, that while we all need love and respect, and we all give love and respect, that the need for a woman to be loved is huge. And men aren't necessarily good at and wide towards showing love. And the need for a man to be respected is huge. And women aren't necessarily good at showing respect. And that's why God in his word puts this one verse, which is really transformative for marriage. Women are encouraged to respect. Men are encouraged to love. Quoting from Dr. Emerson, when a woman feels unloved, a wife's usual approach is to complain and criticize in order to motivate her husband to become more loving. This usually proves as successful as trying to sell knucklebusters to Mother Teresa. It makes sense, doesn't it? You know? Every wife wants her husband to appreciate how much she loves him. And she yearns to feel more love from him. Every wife. The best way to love a husband is to show him respect in ways that are meaningful to him. Such respect lets him feel his wife's love for him and ignites in him feelings of love for his wife. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and the crazy cycle begins. You've got it there in your inserts. Here's how this pastor sees many marriages. A woman's is always very concerned about relationships and knowing that things are all right relationally, that things are well connected. Therefore, when a problem comes up relationally, a lady normally wants it fixed now. And it needs to be fixed now. And she can't focus on other things till the relationship, particularly with her husband, has been fixed. Now she begins to raise an issue and say, "Hubby, I need to talk about this. We need to deal with this." And he doesn't respond with a listening ear. He doesn't respond to make time for him. Then often the tone will change. And it might become more critical. It might become more high-pitched. It might become more repetitive. And then what happens then? The husband thinks, crikey, listen to the way she's talking to me. I feel terrible, you know. And he feels disrespected because she's screaming in inappropriate ways to be loved. And so he feels disrespected. And the normal Kiwi thing, and hopefully the men in our church don't do this, but the normal Kiwi thing is when your wife raises a voice, when she starts raising a problem, when she begins to get emotional, which is pretty scary for us blokes, the normal thing is to make a joke, tease, change the topic, or get out of the room to the garage as quick as you can. And I want to suggest to you that if she begins to get emotional and say, "I have a need, hubby, we need to talk about it," and he starts to feel all threatened, and she's maybe changing the pitch and the tone in a way that's not respectful, he's interpreting that as, "I'm not loved." And so if he retreats to the garage or foolishly teases her or tries to distract her, he's in trouble. It's going to escalate. Then he's going to feel more unloved. And if he walks out of the room, because in his head, and many, many men do this, "I'm going to leave the room and go somewhere else to keep the peace so it doesn't escalate." A lady ordinarily interprets that as, "It's not going to be dealt with. He's walking away from me. He doesn't love me." So the crazy cycle begins. And I've seen so many relationships changed when people say, "I am going to break this crazy cycle. No matter what I'm getting from my wife, no matter what I'm getting from my husband, I'm going to do things the way the Bible says. I am going to choose to love. I'm going to stay in the room and say, 'Tell me more, honey. Tell me more. Is there anything else, honey?'" You know? And she's going to choose to speak respectfully, even at times when she's struggling to find that respect for him. When they choose to do that, when we choose to obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit turns up. Dr. John Gottman spent 20 years researching marriages that had been happy and together for over 40 years. He found that these couples had diverse backgrounds, cultures, income levels, and he found that they had two things in common. As he talked, there was a strong undercurrent of two basic ingredients, and you know what they are: love and respect. I think in virtually every marriage that I've ever seen, over the years, this crazy cycle kicks in. There are times when it happens, even in good marriages. Maybe you're tired, maybe you're under pressure, maybe there's been too many things to deal with, and we slip into this way of behaving. And yet we're commanded to love, and she's commanded to respect. And if we can do that, God can turn a situation around. Right or wrong, quoting from the book, men interpret their world through their respect grid, and a wife's softened tone and facial expressions can do more for a marriage than she could possibly imagine. It's so true. It's so true. I think that communication in marriage is further complicated by the way that men see and interpret things through male eyes, and women always see and interpret things through female eyes. For example, when a man's getting dressed in the morning and says, "Honey, I've got nothing to wear," what that means is, "Honey, there's nothing clean in the drawers." When a lady says, "Honey, I've got nothing to wear," what that means is, "I've got nothing specific for that situation that I'm going to." It's got nothing to do with clean clothing at all. They're saying the same words, but they're looking at the same situation through different eyes. And that happens in marriage. When the wives raise their voices and say, "We've got to get this sorted," often the men hear sarcasm, even contempt in their tone. Not intended, that's how it's interpreted. When men don't speak, when they walk out of the room, they might be doing this because they want to keep the peace or escape, you know. But most women would interpret that as not caring or even a hostile act. Dr. Emerson's core message in this book is that God commands men to love their wives unconditionally. And he commands women to respect their husbands unconditionally. Now, there are some things in life that you earn. You earn trust. You know, and there are times when you might forgive someone that's hurt you, but they've got to earn your trust back, and that's reasonable. But for a Christian, your spouse doesn't have to earn love, your spouse doesn't have to earn respect. The Bible says, hey guys, you're commanded to love your wives, to reassure them every day that they're loved, to make sure that they know that they're loved. And wives, you're commanded to respect your husbands, to choose your words carefully, to show honour for the things that he does and appreciation for who he is. After 30 years of marriage counselling and pastoring, Dr. Emerson concludes that when a husband receives unconditional respect from his wife, those fond feelings of affection will return and he will start giving her the kind of love she's always hoped to receive. I want to suggest to you three things that you can do to break the crazy cycle. When it comes up in your marriage, and it might be once in the blue moon, but it comes up when you're tired. It comes up when you're under pressure. And we need to, at those times, stand as Christians and respond differently. How to break the crazy cycle. Number one, assume the best of your spouse. You continually trust your children to your spouse's care. If your spouse is male, he may or may not be a great communicator of feelings, but he might like to provide, he might like to show love in different ways. If your spouse is female, they're probably good communicators of feelings. But no matter how skilled each of you are at finding the right words and expressions, you need to decide in your heart that even if she gets too emotional for your comfort, or even if he doesn't express his feelings well as you want him to, you both need to love each other. You need to show respect to each other for things to work. If she raises her voice and distorts her face and says something that makes you feel like mud, it's usually because she's desperate to be affirmed, to know again that she's loved by you. She may not bring it the best way. She may not express it the best way, but assume the best of her. And ladies, if he's foolish enough to tease you or to try to make a joke out of a situation that you're really concerned about, or if he's too silent, give him the benefit of the doubt. Men find it hard to find the right words, and many men have been trained to be tough, not to show too much emotion, and particularly to walk away from conflicts, which is the last thing that you want them to do. Assume the best of each other. Ultimately, you both want the marriage to work and the family to be happy. Number two, breaking the crazy cycle. Forgive each other. And have those love and respect conversations before you go to sleep. I've often reflected on how senior people go up to couples getting married. And one of the most common words of wisdom I hear from people in their 70s and 80s and 90s when they're approaching a young married couple is this: always make sure you make up. Always make sure it's settled. Always make sure the other person knows their love before you go to sleep. Sort it out the same day. It lines up with Scripture. Jesus said, don't let the sun go down in your anger. It takes a real man to initiate reconciliation and to show humility and love to his wife. It takes real love and respect to consider your spouse's needs and to minister to those needs before the day is finished. Assume the best of each other and forgive each other. Thirdly, be strong. Ladies, ask yourself this question when you need to sort out an issue with your husband. Is what I'm about to say and how I'm saying it respectful to my husband? And husbands, before you respond to your wives, ask yourself, does my response demonstrate the love that she needs right now? No sarcasm, no jokes. Men, one of the many ways our wives like us, is the way they respond to life. I've noticed, and Dr. Emerson speaks about this too, men compartmentalize things. We're about projects, we're about managing life. And so if a part of your life isn't going well, but maybe the job is, and maybe the health is, and the physical fitness plan is, you kind of cope. But ladies are quite different to that. I've observed and I've seen it reflected so often. If the marriage isn't right, if there's a struggle, if a lady's not sure that she's being loved, the whole world isn't right. So a man might be able to compartmentalize and sort of carry on and achieve the next goal, but for her, life isn't right. It's really, really stressful until she's reassured of your love. So you need to respond God's way. If they raise their voices, men, and say things to us that seem like bullets fired at us, I want to encourage you to stand up, to take the hits, to let them all flow, and then quickly rush in and say you love them and that you're listening. It's important that even if you're slightly wrong, only slightly wrong, to say I'm sorry. Men, when you're with your friends or at work, there is a problem. Usually you express your thoughts, then you let it go. Women find it much harder just to say it and say it's dealt with and it's finished. It takes a bit more time. They need to hear words from you that resolve the situation. Dr. Emerson recounts the story of a Christian man that spent a short time in prison. He'd read the scripture, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." And this is a quote from this man. "For 2 days, God replayed the memories I had of our arguments. And in each one, I was acutely aware of how I'd failed to love my wife. It was like pausing a video and having someone point to it and say, see, right there you could have reached out to her, but you were too busy trying to prove your point. At one point I was seeing her face all distorted with rage as she screamed at me, but totally without any sound. The mute button had been paused in this memory. And then little by little the sound came up so I could hear it. Only the words were not my wife's words screaming at me. Instead they were replaced with other words, the words I needed to hear. I want you to love me. Why don't you love me? I'm afraid and insecure, and I need you to hold me and to love me." And that's when I began to weep, this prisoner writes. "All this time I've been so totally wrapped up in my own need to demand respect, to be right at any cost, to win a petty argument. This hurt our priceless relationship. I've been so caught up in the words that I totally missed her heart and her need." His book's full of testimonies. I want to read to you two practical ones in closing. Testimonies from two ladies. The first one reads, "I wrote my husband 2 letters about why I respected him. I'm amazed at how it has softened him in response to me. I've prayed for years that my husband would love me and speak my love language. But when I begin to speak his language, then he responds with what I wanted." This next lady had 2 major fights with her husband and saw how they were locked in a crazy cycle. She wrote, "The thing that struck me was your comment that a man should feel a loss of respect so deeply, but not be able to voice or vocalize as to what was wrong. As a man is not given to voicing his emotions much on a good day, I believe this is how my husband was affected. He was able to tell me I'd pushed him too hard, but I didn't understand what button I'd pushed. As a result, a lot of my efforts to reach out over the next 6 months backfired. So on New Year's Eve, I left a card in his lunchbox. Nothing mushy, just a 'you give me a reason to smile' message, to which I added, 'and many things about you I respect.' Then I said a thanks for Christmas and Happy New Year. The next day he got up from the table and he brought a chair to me. This last Sunday he suggested we go to a movie in the evening. We sat and talked before the movie started. We proposed going to a musical in the town next week. In general, he's been much more open and communicative." What are these ladies saying? They're saying that when the choice is made, not because it was earned, but because out of a love for God, they choose to show respect. Their husbands became much better communicators and they were enabled to show love. It's exactly true the other way as well. As my husband chooses to show love, he chooses to be strong, irrespective of the situation, she becomes a lot more enabled and equipped to show love, to show respect. People say to me, Russ, how's that possible? Unconditional love, come on, we're not God. Unconditional respect, get real, that's impossible, that's too hard. What if I'm doing all the work? And most spouses who are struggling say that. Both the husband and the wife will say, I'm doing all the work, and he's not responding, or I'm doing all the work, she's not responding. Scripture says, if you choose to show unconditional love, if you choose to show unconditional respect, God will turn up. Friends, I've seen that so many times. How is it possible? It's possible because Christ rose from the grave and he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. It's possible because he started a good work in us. It's possible because the resources in you and me as Christians are far greater than what's natural in the natural world. Can we do it on our own? Heck no. Can we do it because he's risen from the grave and he's doing something transformative in us? Absolutely yes. And if you do, your home will become a happy place and your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandies are going to bless you for it. They're going to bless you for it if we choose to respond his way and obey his commands. Friends, we're going to stand with Marty and the team for two closing songs. You can put your dancing shoes on for the first one.